In the name of Christ, the sure foundation, amen. You may be seated. The text that engages us this morning is the reading from 1 Samuel chapter 2, read just previously, the Song of Hannah, in this ongoing Monday morning series through the book of 1 Samuel. 2 years ago, when we entered into the first wave of the pandemic and had the lockdowns, my teenage son Benjamin became a binge watcher of Netflix. And one of the programs that he binge watched was entitled Stranger Things. I sat in on a few episodes myself and was engaged by that TV program. It's about a group of middle school children who discover a secret government program to connect with another dimension of the universe, a parallel dimension that is called the Upside Down. And in fact, in the program, when a character would go through the portal into this alternate dimension, everything would turn upside down. And it was a dark and kind of creepy existence in the upside down. Well, of course, that was strange. I guess that's why they entitled it Stranger Things. But I'm here today to tell you that there is, in fact, an upside down. There is another dimension, another reality that is upside down from the principles and the priorities, from the standards and structures and values of this sinful world. And that upside down realm is God's kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord. Our text today from 1 Samuel 2 gives us a glimpse into that upside-down kingdom. It takes us through the portal into that other dimension so that we can see it, along with Hannah, who raises this song of praise and thanksgiving, but also provides us a vision of God's upside-down kingdom. Last week, President Eger inaugurated this series, focusing on chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, the story of Hannah, and how she was considered of low estate in her culture because she was barren. And she comes to the Lord's tabernacle and prays to the Lord, beseeching him that he would provide her with a child, and vowing to then dedicate that child to the Lord. The Lord answers her prayer positively. She gives birth to a son and names him Samuel. God hears. And now we have her bringing this young boy who has been recently weaned to the tabernacle to dedicate him to the service of the Lord. And as she does so, she breaks out into a glorious song of thanksgiving and praise to God for his work in her life and his work in the world. And in so doing, she has a vision and she provides us with a vision of God's MO, his modus operandi in turning things upside down. First, for her own life, she begins, "My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord because I rejoice in your salvation." She says, "I who had been of low estate have now been exalted by the Lord. And so now I exult in the Lord and I exalt him because of his salvation." And she specifically identifies this circumstance of her own life in which God had reversed her barrenness. She says, the barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. Indeed, Hannah will go on to bear many more children. But her vision expands beyond simply what God has done for her personally to the way in which God operates within the world to turn things upside down. The standards and the structures and the values of this world, how he turns these things upside down. She says, "The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. The mighty are made weak, and the weak are made strong. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. Those whose bellies were satisfied now are starved. Those who were hungry now are fed. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. Those who are alive, he brings into death. Those who are dead, he raises to life. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor." A great reversal of fortune. This is God's upside down kingdom. She sees a vision of this and she exalts in God's ways and God's works that are upside down from the world. But then she concludes this song by identifying how God's upside down kingdom will be inaugurated supremely through his king, his anointed one. She says, "The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed." The word there, anointed, is Mashiach, Messiah. And remember, this is in the period before the monarchy in Israel. So she looks ahead and she sees God's king, his supreme king, the Messiah, who will come to inaugurate this upside down kingdom of the Lord. Centuries later, a full millennia later, God fulfills that vision. And he fulfills it through a young, humble maiden like Hannah named Mary. Mary, who is chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. And as she receives this vocation, she cries out in a glorious song of praise to God we call the Magnificat, with the same themes of God's reversal of fortune, how he raises up those of humble estate like Mary, whose name now will be renowned throughout generations. And when the Messiah is born, it's very much upside down from what anyone would have expected. He's born not in a gilded palace placed to rest on plush velvet pillows, but instead he's born in a stable, in the rough breeding and eating place of animals. He then is raised in the backwater town of Nazareth. Later, even Nathanael would say, "What good can come from Nazareth?" And then begins his public ministry. He is manifested, epiphanied in the world, in Galilee of the Gentiles. And he reveals himself as this itinerant preacher who goes to the poor and the lowly, who speaks to the common people, mingles with them, engages with them. He communes with the outcasts, with the tax collectors and prostitutes, the sinners, with those who are outcasts, the lepers. These are his friends. And most of all, he is the friend of sinners. He is a poor man. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. Who would have envisioned the king of this kingdom appearing in such lowly manner? And though he had no sin, since he was the friend of sinners, then he is identified as a sinner, condemned for blasphemy, and hung on a morbid execution post, cursed of God, crucified. This is far upside down from what anyone would have envisioned. And yet it is at that point that God carries out his greatest reversal of all. Because on the third day he raises his son from the dead. Christ had humbled himself unto death, even death on a cross. But now God has highly exalted him and given him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And now we enter into his upside-down kingdom, not by standing tall and exalting ourselves and holding forth our own merit, but by bending the knee, going low in humble confession of our unworthiness and sin. And we live in this upside-down kingdom not by asserting our own authority, but instead confessing him as Lord and following him. And following him means to be as he was, a servant, to bend low and wash feet. In God's upside-down kingdom now, those who are his princes and princesses serve others. We deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. Even as he came not to be served, but to serve, in this upside-down kingdom, we live to serve others in humility and lowliness. One of the greatest exemplars of this upside-down kingdom of God was a woman that I knew in my first call, a congregation in Peoria, Illinois, back in the 1990s. Interestingly enough, her name was Anna Richter. And Anna was an octogenarian, and she was not the kind of person that the world would esteem as being of any significance or importance. She had never been married. She had no children. She had worked in a drugstore all of her life, very poor. She lived in a two-room apartment. She was very plain in appearance, her dress. She never wore makeup. Had a bun in her hair. Very, very modest, humble person. And yet, she lived to serve. In the congregation for over 60 years, she was a Sunday school teacher. Week after week, investing herself in sharing the story of Jesus with the children, forming them in saving faith. And loving them, and they loved her back. She had a special place in her heart for those with special needs, especially those with Down syndrome. Our church had a ministry to Down syndrome children, and she was always involved in that, supporting and caring for those people of special needs. Her most distinctive ministry, though, was this. She was known as the card lady in our church. because she would send birthday cards to every member in the church every year, every birthday they had. And this was a large church with over 1,300 members. This was a great expense of hers, of time and of money, to do that. But she would send these cards with words of encouragement and witness and a prayer for each member of the church on their birthday. When Anna died, her funeral was held, and the place was packed. Now, this church, we'd have funerals for high upper-level executives from Caterpillar Corporation, of governmental officials, doctors and lawyers, those that the world would esteem as having great influence and importance in society. But very few had as many come to the funeral as this one with Anna. Why? Because not only Anna understood the upside-down kingdom of God, but the church did as well. They saw how God had worked through this humble woman, this humble servant, to enact his upside-down kingdom. May we also show forth Epiphany, if you will, the upside-down kingdom of God, as Hannah of the Old Testament did and Anna of the 20th century did. May we follow the one who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, to inaugurate the upside-down kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.